You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
What's up, y'all? Welcome to episode 2 of the Broadway Husbands Podcast. I'm Brett Schuford.
And I'm Stephen Hanna.
And we are
the Broadway Husbands.
Woohoo! We are just your all-American married couple.
Making their living in the arts and pursuing a growing family.
On the Broadway Husbands Podcast, we offer advice from our ordinary lives under extraordinary circumstances.
We are living proof that you can love who you love and love what you do. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss our weekly episodes. And if you really love us, make sure you leave a review on whatever podcast network you listen to. Take a screenshot and tag us on Instagram at Broadway Husbands.
At Broadway Husbands.
Woo!
And just a proud note to say that we are very, very proud to be members of the Broadway Podcast Network.
That's right.
BPN has all kinds of amazing podcasts for you to listen to, including us. Hey.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we are at our second episode.
Wow, how far we have come so far.
Today, the goal of today is that we're going to tell you guys our coming out stories. Ooh, but first, when we give you...
you're gay.
Wait, you're gay?
Just that last night.
I didn't want to... Oh, just last night.
After 12 years of being together, just last night.
Well, you just came out to each other 12 years after being married to each other. So today we're actually want to give you a little bit of an update. If you haven't subscribed to us on YouTube, we've been making YouTube videos for a long time, and you can check us out there. In fact, some of the videos from our podcast will be on there as well as we continue to roll these out. But we've also been vlogging for a while now about our journey to become fathers with an organization called Gays with Kids. So if you don't know gayswithkids.com, you can check out some of our vlogging on there. But we are excited because we had to take a little bit of a pause
from our bit of a hiatus
baby journey. Yeah. And we are now actually back on the bus, and we're going to be telling you guys more about that and what that journey is like for us. We're choosing surrogacy, so you'll learn a little bit about what that is in another episode. But we're excited to sort of update you guys about that. And I just got a new job. I'm going.
What?
Yes.
Yay. What is it?
As of the time this recording is live, I will be in the Broadway company of Wicked.
What?
Yes.
That's so cool. Congratulations.
Oh, thanks, Steven.
I'm so excited.
And then we're also going to tell you guys in another episode about our sabbatical we took from New York City last year when we moved to Charleston, South Carolina.
And that's right. We were in Charleston all last year, and we will definitely be talking about that and letting you know how great of a place Charleston is and what our experience was living in the South.
And why we came back.
Brett was like a Southern soldier who took me past the Mason-Dixon. And I thought I wasn't going to come back, but I just had to come back up north. All right.
Steven loved that joke when we moved down there because I'm
thought
from
it was
Texas,
the funniest thing ever.
And he's from Pittsburgh, and he would tell everybody he's just a Southern soldier that came up here and took me back down, but now this Yankee took me back up.
That's
above.
Right.
So here we are. We're back in New York, and we're doing episode 2, and now our segment we call
Spotlight on Love.
All right. So here's a question
we got from one of our followers on Instagram.
Here it goes. I don't have a gaydar.
Steven, what's a gaydar?
A gaydar is something, a sense inside of you that goes off when you are next to somebody or close to somebody, and you can tell whether or not they are gay. So as I get closer to Brett, as I scooch closer to him, goes, gay, gay.
Yours is really loud.
Oh, really? No, actually, mine isn't that loud. I think I have terrible gaydar, but that's what it is, right? Just in like.
Okay, this is a total side note. So our follower wrote, said, I don't have a gaydar. I've never had a good one anyway, but Stevens clearly is on par with that. And there is this really cute guy who comes through my check stand. Now, he comes through the guy who wrote this check stand on the weekends. We don't know what a check stand is.
We don't understand what that
is. But
yeah, we were reading it and I was like, I don't know.
We're just going to keep going.
Yeah.
We talk, but our conversations never go long or deep because once I'm done ringing up his order, I have to move on to the next one. So number one, how do I find out if he's even gay? I don't just want to full out ask and embarrass myself. And number two, how do I know if he's interested?
Well, my experienced, unexpert advice would be, my first instinct was to, you know, for some reason, I think that it's a coffee stand and not a check stand. So I think that this person, you probably know their first name, and you can probably sort of look them up / stalk them on social media and figure out who they are that way. And then also I think, I don't know if that's great advice, but that's literally where my brain goes. And then
that's what you would have done?
Yeah. And then I think you can also tell by the way somebody looks you in the eyes. Like, are they looking at you like they want something from you? Like a little bit sexual? Or are they looking at you like they just want your attention? Because they just want your attention and they're friendly, right?
Yeah.
Is that weird?
Yeah, I think you would know if somebody was interested because they'd flirt.
Yeah.
Right?
Is he flirting because he's nice? Or is he just talking to you? Or maybe you're,
My big suggestion is like, why don't you just like hang out with them and be friends? Why does it have to be romantic? Why does it matter if he's gay or not? What if you're feeling a pull towards him? Why don't you just say, hey, let's have coffee. I'd love to just, you seem cool.
Because that's sort of what happened with Brett and I. I mean, I wasn't gay before. And no, just kidding.
Oh, please.
No, no.
Give me a
and
break.
That'll lead us into.
What?
What?
No?
What did you say? Lead us into what?
What we're going to talk about today.
Well, no, we have. Well, we're not done with this.
Okay.
We got to finish talking to our listener. Yeah. So, Stephen's
advice is stalk him on Instagram or Facebook.
Not stalk, but just look into it, and it'll be very clear, very quickly, instantly you see.
Well, we also don't know how old he is. I mean, he could be teenager or something. And then my advice is, why don't you just make friends?
Yeah.
And then see what happens.
Yeah. It doesn't need to be so serious. And maybe it's just fun to just have somebody that you look forward to, like getting a cup of coffee and you're like, oh, he's really cute. And maybe it's just that.
I love that you went from a check stand to a coffee. Like,
well, because what's a check stand? I don't know what that is.
This guy could just be cashing his check. I don't know.
Okay.
Anyway, so if you want relationship advice and dating advice from our completely unqualified, unexpert selves.
But we're very experienced.
You want me to tell you what a check stand is?
Yeah, what's a check stand?
Okay, so I Googled it and it says a business or place where a podcaster podcast.
You've been here too long.
A business or place where a product or service can be purchased, also called point of purchase. So like, the checkout counter.
Mm. Got it.
But it's very vague. So he could be checking out anything.
Is your listener like British? It sounds like a British thing to say.
Oh, maybe I don't think he's American.
Yeah, maybe they're not American. Okay. Mm. Or all right. Well, it's the same thing. Check, coffee.
So a check stand is where someone goes to check things out.
Got it. And it sounds like
you're checking him out. Hey. All right, well, if you want relationship and dating advice from our completely unexpert selves, DM us on Instagram @BroadwayHusbands or email us. Steven, I can't read that.
Oh.
Or email us on BroadwayHusbands.com, and we just might choose your question for the next episode. Also, to guarantee you receive our advice, consider becoming a patron on Patreon, and you can join us live to ask your question.
All right. On today's episode, we are going to tell you our coming out stories.
Hey.
So as you've heard, we're called the Broadway Husbands, so that means we are gay. And there was, I don't know if there was like a particular moment in my life that I really knew I was gay. Let's kind of go through like.
Let's just start with our earliest gayest memory.
Earliest gayest memory.
What's your earliest gayest memory?
Well, like, what does that mean? Does that mean like.
Like, when's the moment you were like, ooh, he's cute. I like that.
I mean, oh, I definitely can remember. I don't know. I can remember. Go ahead.
We were doing Gypsy.
Okay.
At the Port Arthur Little Theater in mm-hmm. Port Arthur, Texas. And the boy playing Tulsa.
Right.
I just was like infatuated. I was like 8. And I would just stare at him and follow him around like a puppy dog. And it must have been pretty obvious at that point. This little boy's like following Tulsa around. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
Do you have a memory like that?
I don't have a memory of like that kind of thing when I was younger, but I have memories of different like actors. You know, like I was like obsessed with Dave Charvet from Baywatch. Like, it's like, yes, I'm definitely gay because I just want to be in a red bathing suit next to him. and there was a bunch of people on Melrose Place that I was like totally obsessed with. In real life, though, I think it was a little trickier. I mean,
but like when you got older, when did you actually start to like come to terms with it? When's the first time you told somebody?
I think the first time I told somebody, I was 15 years old. I told my friend Jen Porteous because I had a crush on two people. At the time I was dancing at the School of American Ballet, and I used to go to see the ballet every single night because I wanted to be a ballet dancer. And so there were two dancers in particular that I had like huge crushes on. And I told my friend Jen Porteous that I thought I was gay because I liked this or had a crush on somebody who I didn't know that I saw from afar. And that was the first time I ever.
How old were you again?
Like 15.
15.
And then quickly after that, I went back in the closet. You know, so that was kind of like my story. Like I would come out. And then I would kind of go back in.
But why would you go back in?
Because I guess like shame, embarrassment. It's really interesting because I grew up in an environment where you'd think that it would be pretty accepted. But I just really didn't feel comfortable at all like with it. So I just went back in, dated girls, pretended like I didn't say that and didn't happen. And
I did a similar thing where I remember I was 13, I told my mom, I think I liked boys. And she said, you're too young to know. You need to go to church. You need to pray about it. And yeah, crazy. And so I was like, oh, okay. I guess I'm too young to know. Even though 13 is like when you know a lot of things and no matter who you are. And so I did the similar thing where I kind of went back in. I talked to people about it and I was so unhappy because everyone was so horrible to me, like the church, and it was just in the South, you know? So I went back in the closet and I dated girls, meaning we drove around and listened to Les Mis in the car and like, maybe I'd feel a boob, but like that was it.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SuffsMusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Yeah.
But then when did you actually, like, accept it?
When did I accept it? I think I accepted it probably when I was, not until I was like 21.
That's so crazy
to me.
It's
so weird. I mean, I think
to be in the ballet
world.
Yeah,
I mean, it was like in the ballet world. I've lived in New York since I was 12. I just never felt like I thought that it would, I don't know. I just didn't feel comfortable. I don't know if it was with myself or if it was just, I didn't want people to know. And I was, I think that I always felt like if I said that I was gay, people would always say, oh, he's that gay guy. And I never wanted to be known as that.
Because you're the only gay guy in the ballet.
No. But I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I always felt like once people came out or identified as gay, you know, I just always thought like that's all they were about. And like, I wanted to be about everything. Like, I didn't want to just be about like, oh, I'm gay. And like, now I'm just going to talk about this. So I think, I'm not saying it was a good thing, but I just think that I just wasn't comfortable. It took me a long time to be comfortable. I was afraid of people judging me. I was afraid of what my parents would say. So I kept it from them and lied, you know.
I mean, I feel like you're pretty lucky though, because you weren't living with them. So you didn't have to tell them.
It was easy for me not to tell them. So I didn't.
Because I had this struggle where I was living with them and my brothers. I had three brothers who all like were so straight, and football players and baseball players. And the pressure was on, you know, to be what they were. And I was not interested in any of the things, literally any of the things they were interested in. And I remember just the pressure I would feel to try to normalize myself. And so I was, you know, quote unquote, back in the closet. But then I would like, I got on the Thespian State Board and I was doing drama club and I was doing choir. I mean, come on. And I was doing dance competitions. I mean, hello. And yet I was trying to like, oh yeah, I'm just like a creative type guy, whatever. Right. But then when I would go to those places, I would go to those like conventions or the camps or whatever, there would be other gay people there. And I would be so excited to actually be able to be myself for just like 2 days before I'd have to go back to Orange, Texas and be like this thing that I wasn't. And it was horrible. I mean, it was like for 4 years, I had to pretend I was something I wasn't. And I just remember like there was this moment in my senior year of high school where I was playing Joseph in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat
at
the Beaumont Community Players. And I was very proud to be the lead. And there was a guy in the cast who was in college, and he was clearly openly gay. And this is 1996. And he would listen to, he had all the cast recordings of everything. I remember I loved that. I thought that was so cool. He had the London cast recording of Children of Eden. And I love Children of Eden. And he had like all these different cast recordings. And we would listen to, you know, we'd compare the different London casts to the Broadway casts. And it was so silly. And my mom saw me hanging out with this guy. And she came up to me and she said, you know, in my room one day, she was like, my senior of high school, what's going on with you and this gay thing? And I was like, oh, I'm pretty sure I am. I just had come to terms with it. I was like, whatever. I didn't care anymore. And she started crying. And she said, oh, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. This is worse than when my father died.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God. And I was 17. And I don't know where I had the wherewithal to say this, but I was like, this has nothing to do with you.
You said that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Good.
And she's like crying in front of me. I said, this has nothing to do with you. This is March of my senior year of high school. And I had booked my first professional gig at Galveston Island Outdoor Musicals. And there's like several people that I worked with that summer who I'm still friends with, who are still in the community. And I remember I just could not wait to get to that moment where I was like, gonna go and like do what I was supposed to be doing my whole life. And I didn't really talk to my mom like those last like 2 months before I graduated. And then the night of graduation, I drove to Galveston and started rehearsals at this thing. And I remember there was a guy there who was the music director who's since passed. And he was like a mentor of mine that summer. And I remember talking to him about my family and how upset I was. I wasn't really talking to them and we'd all been very close. And this is the best advice he ever gave me. This is for all you guys listening. He said, you know, when you come out and if you care about the people you come out to, it becomes your responsibility to educate them. And he said, your parents just don't know anything. It's called ignorance. And you need to help educate them so they have a choice. And he recommended a book, which we'll put in the show notes. It's called The Family Heart. And I read this book and I called my mom. I said, if I send you this book, will you read it? I sent it to her. She read it. She called me and she said, crying. She's like, I never understood that it wasn't a choice. And she just all of a sudden got it. I mean, there's been a lot of growth that's had, as you know, had to happen since. But that was a huge deal for me because I'm so close to my family.
Yeah.
But the coming out story was like really rough at that time. And I feel like you're in one way, you're really lucky because you weren't kind of subjected to that pressure, but you had this other pressure.
Well, yeah, I mean, I wasn't subjected to that pressure, but I had some sort of internal pressure and I think it manifested its way into other issues in my life. But, you know, I just never felt comfortable. And then I finally told my brother, I think when I was like 20 or 21, and then I know that we both told my dad together. And then my dad said, well, we can't tell your mother. Don't worry, we won't tell her. And so we never told my mom for the longest time. So, and then I was like pretty open with most everyone except my mom. And then I was like 23. I was going through a lot of emotional problems at the time. And I called my mom because I was upset about something. And I was crying. And she said to me, you know, Stephen, I think everything would just be better for you if you just got a girlfriend. And I kind of flipped out and I said, Mom, I have a boyfriend. I'm gay. I didn't say it even that nicely. I think I said it with a little bit more bite. And we then didn't talk for about 2 months. And then eventually we started talking and it was a similar thing. She didn't. And it wasn't that my mom didn't understand. She was in, I think, a huge denial. And I think that her perspective is that it was all her fault. Like being gay is wrong. So, you know, that's taken a long time, obviously, to get over. But my brother is a social worker. So he quickly bought her books. I don't know the titles of them. I will have to ask him. And so she read them. And, you know, we got through it and we got over it. And, you know, and now they're very loving and they've always been loving, very accepting. And they've always been accepting of Brett and I's relationship. But, you know, it's interesting. I think that most people, I don't know. It was like, I felt like my whole thing, I couldn't come out for myself. Like I was just not, it was really weird. I think it's like, I don't know. It was like, then I'm going to be known for that or like, I don't know.
Well, that's the thing when you're that young, that's what people do.
Yeah.
You know? It's so hard to be young and know who you are and know what you want to do.
Right.
I mean, that was the thing I always ran against was people would be like, you wouldn't take me seriously or when I said, no, this is what I want to do. And I think it's really hard. I can't imagine. A lot of people say it's want to say it's so much easier. And yeah, it's easier for people now because there's an open dialogue about being gay in the public forum.
Right. But I don't know that like internally, like even if I grew up today, that right. it would have any different easier.
Because the shame is still there. It's still.
I guess it depends on where and who you're around all the time. But culturally,
I think our culture teaches us to feel ashamed. I think it's a collective thing that is just a slow process.
It's just
of
a slow
changing.
Process. Yeah, for sure.
But that's one of the reasons why we wanted to start this podcast and start doing what we're doing is to sort of help eliminate a lot of that shame because we get it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it took me a long time to come to terms with it. And then it took me a while to tell people. And then it took them a while to get over it and accept me. And
yeah, I think you have to really be cautious of who you talk to and who you trust. But I think it's important that the only way shame is eliminated is by putting voice to it. Mm-hmm. So finding someone you trust, finding somewhere to go to talk to, that was super powerful for me.
Yeah, I think that the reason why I had such a hard time was because I didn't talk to people. Mm-hmm. All I wanted to do was dance, and I did at the time. And I was fortunate enough that like my life allowed me to kind of not talk, and I didn't talk for many, many hours a day, and I worked, and I was able to kind of push everything to the side until I wasn't. So I think that was like part of why it was so hard for me. I wasn't able to talk about it. And then I turned to other things that, weren't maybe a healthy choice.
Maybe.
But we'll get into that maybe some other day. Find people that you trust.
Find a community.
Go to a therapist if you're able to see a therapist.
But it is important that if you are in a safe place where you're not risking yourself or anybody else, to be open about it, because I think it's important that the only way we're going to dispel the collective conscious of shame that exists and sort of permeates our culture is by openly speaking up and supporting other people who are in our community.
And just know that your voice matters. I think that that's part of always my issue is that I just feel like, my voice doesn't really matter. I think that's something that always goes on in my head. Like, I don't really have anything important to say. People don't really want to hear from me. But, whether or not they do, I don't know if they do or not. But get out there, talk to people, create a community, find the people who will accept you. And
your voice matters.
Does it?
It matters to me.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I love you.
I'm just saying, those are the demons inside my head a lot of the time. So I get it.
Well, so that's our episode for today. If you like this, make sure you subscribe and go out there. Love who you love.
And love what you do.
Bye.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.